Yeah, that's it. That's it. Ooh. Well, we had a lovely service this morning, didn't we? And we heard of the greater works of Christ and the greater works that we're going to do in Christ. The privilege of doing the greater works of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought I'd just bring something a little bit different tonight. And I think a lot of the prayers and a lot of the songs that we were singing actually pointed to the message. And we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. It's becoming my favourite book. It's a great book. And really a lot of it is hearkening back to the time of the Old Testament. Now I put it on Nisia to see if she can get me a picture of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, and one of the places where they used to sacrifice all the animals. Don't worry, you won't see any blood or guts or anything like that. You'll be all right. But we're going to look at the sacrifice, the difference between the sacrifice in the Old Testament and the sacrifice in the New Testament. The sacrifice of the bulls and the lambs and the goats and the pigeons and all of these things. And then the one sacrifice for all in Christ. And it gives us a greater understanding then of our standing in Christ. So we're going to read quite a long passage. We'll read 24 verses. Is that all right? So chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and the 24 verses. The law is only a shadow of the good things. In other words, it's not a reality. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are our annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings did you not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.'" First he said, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I've come to do your will." He sets aside the first covenant to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, that is Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts will I remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, because we're outnumbered, I think, the men tonight, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There you go. There's the Holy of Holies, and there's the high priest offering incense unto God and offering a sacrifice unto God. And what he would do, he would get the sacrifice animal, the blood of that animal, and he would sprinkle it on the top of the altar there, upon the mercy seat, where God would show mercy to the children of Israel, and he would, in one sense, pass over their sins. So, when I was studying this, two verses stood out. And these are the verses. Chapter 10. So it's an invitation to come. It's not a command. He doesn't say, draw near to me. Draw near to me. Come to me now. He doesn't do that. Why? Because if we were to go to him that way, it shows that we don't have a willingness of heart to go to God. It's a command and we go reluctantly. All right, I'll come to you. But God doesn't want that. He's inviting us to come to him. He says, draw near to me. And the promise of God is this. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Now, there are times in our lives when we are going through difficulties in our lives and we suffer in our lives, then actually it's difficult for us to draw near to God, isn't it? It happens. But God is merciful and God is gracious. And in those times, God will come to you. All you have to say is Jesus, and he will draw to you. But the majority of times in our lives, we have to make that step of faith to God to show we trust him. And he loves that. And he will honour that step of faith. So he's saying, draw near to me. And I will come and visit you. And I will show you great things in your life of how I love you. And how the works I have wrought for you. But as Christians, we don't always do that. As Christians, we don't always draw near to God, do we? We don't draw near to God because sometimes we feel so sinful, we feel so unworthy, we feel so wrong in our lives that we think, I just can't come near to God. I've done something today. I've thought something today. And as a result of that, I have this guilty pang on my heart. And I can't come to you. I can't come to you because I feel guilty and so unworthy and I don't feel clean. Oh, I've said something I shouldn't have. I've done something. I haven't read the Bible as much. I can't draw near to God. There are things in our lives that will stop us from drawing near to God, and the devil will jump on that. And he will use those things against you so you don't come near to God. So that you don't become God conscious. That you don't have an understanding of his love for you. And the devil will use whatever. Guilt. And he'll use it. So what is it in your lives that is holding you back from drawing to God? What is holding you back from drawing near? When there is an invitation from God to say, draw near to me. But there is something in your life that is holding you back from drawing to God. Lay it at the altar. Lay it at the altar. And let God deal with you in his love and his care. And let him draw you to himself. You see, there's this sweet invitation. And Jesus says this, those who come to me, I won't cast you out. Despite how you're feeling, come to me. I'm not going to cast you away. That's his promise. I will not cast you out if you put your trust and draw near to me. And this was the difficulty of the Israelites back in the Old Testament. Because this passage is talking about a time when Israel was in the desert. Do you remember the 40 years that we read about of wandering in the desert? This is when the tabernacle was made. And it's talking about this time. Now, when we read verse 3, those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It's talking about the children of Israel and the Day of Atonement, which happened once a year, where the high priest, once a year and once a year only, would go into the Holy of Holies, and before that would sacrifice a bull, and many other sacrifices as well, many other animals, but would sacrifice a bull on behalf of himself, the sins of himself and the other priests, and on behalf of the sins of the children of Israel. And he would take that blood and he would sprinkle that blood on the altar, so that the Lord would see that blood, that sacrifice, and he would pass over their sins. They wouldn't be completely forgiven, but he would pass over them. Now, this Day of Atonement, the Lord said in Leviticus, you should have a day separated. So I think in Leviticus 16, you should have a day that is separated for this Day of Atonement. And this Day of Atonement, you must remember your sins. In other words, the AV puts it actually quite strongly. You must afflict your souls. You must mourn something chronic. You must mourn for the sins that you have committed. You spend a day separated for the sins that you have committed. What a mournful day. That they were very conscious of their sins. So this day was a day to recognize how sinful they were. And what is interesting is this. The Bible says these sacrifices were made as a reminder of their sins. So the purpose for the sacrifice was to remind them of their sin. The purpose of the sacrifice was to give them a revelation that they were sinners. So every day, the normal sacrifices would take place. They would say, I'm a sinner. Every day. They became sin conscious. Every atonement day, once a year, they became sin conscious. So they revealed their need all the time. The sacrifices constantly revealed the need of man. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. You need God. They became sin conscious. And it is very interesting because it says in verse 1, for this reason, by these sacrifices repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, it could not make perfect those people. And therefore they struggled to draw near to God. Because they were aware of what they were. And guilty. In other words, they looked at God as the judge of the earth. And they felt the judgment of God upon them. And because of their sin, and they felt of their unrighteous ways, and the judge of the earth, God, was looking upon them, they felt they couldn't draw near to God. And sometimes that's it with us, friends. We sometimes feel that God is a judge over our lives, those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ the Saviour. We see him as this overbearing judge upon our lives. And we feel this air of sin in our lives. And we can't come to God because God is going to judge us. Therefore, we can't draw near. And this was the purpose. It gave them a revelation of their sin. But it also showed the poor quality of the sacrifice. Because the poor quality of that sacrifice couldn't make amends for their sin. It couldn't take away fully their sin. It couldn't fully cover their sin. It couldn't fully cleanse them of their sins. It couldn't do anything like that. They lived in the revelation that they were sinners because of these sacrifices. They became sin conscious. And the law of God was upon them. You sinned. Therefore, judgment is upon you. That's what they felt. And it's very interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 56. You can turn to it if you want. It says this. The law shows the strength of sin. The law showed the strength of sin. In other words, it showed them how strong sin was in their lives. It had power over them. It mastered them. It had them as a slave. They couldn't get away from the sin in their lives. The law constantly reminded them, you are under the power of sin. Is it any wonder why they couldn't draw near to God? They were afraid of him. And so many Christians feel that way. So many Christians feel like, I'm afraid of God, I can't come before him. These sacrifices reveal to them their sin. It was a revelation to them. And this is why I wanted to leave the communion till later, because I'm going to bring this out, why it is so significant for us tonight. Verse 5 goes on like this. Because these old sacrifices couldn't really do anything to take away their sin fully and completely. Only they were ceremonially clean, outwardly clean, but inwardly they were not clean. Inwardly they felt guilty. Only ceremonially, outwardly were they clean, but not inwardly. And these sacrifices that couldn't make amends, couldn't take away the sin problem, something had to be done about it. So this is where verse 5 comes in. And it says, because of this, therefore, Christ came into the world. Christ came into the world. And Jesus said this, sacrifice and offerings you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. In other words, God was not pleased with the sacrifices, even though he ordained them, even though he put them forwards and said, you must do this. He was not pleased fully and completely with these sacrifices. That's why Jesus had to come into the world. And a body was prepared for him. In other words, that's called the incarnation. That's where we see God who became man. Jesus Christ, God, became man and took on a body and put that body forwards. And he said, in a body you prepared for me, and with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. God was not pleased with these burnt sacrifices. God was not pleased with these sacrifices. Why? Because they couldn't complete or they couldn't accomplish anything in their lives. They couldn't bring to perfectness or completeness and completely do away with their sin. So God was not pleased with those sacrifices. But it is really interesting when we read Isaiah, that very famous passage in Isaiah 53:10. Now, has anyone got the AV version here? If not, don't worry. Anyone got it? The Authorized Version. I've got the NIV. In the AV, it says this, 53 verse 10. It pleased God, or it pleased the Lord, to bruise his son. Or in the NIV, it says it was the Lord's will. But in the AV it said, it pleased the Lord to bruise his son. It pleased the Lord to sacrifice his son. What a thing to say. God was pleased to sacrifice his son. So God was not pleased with the sacrifices of the old covenant. He was not pleased with the sacrifices of all of these bulls and goats and everything like that, because they couldn't accomplish anything in man's life. Couldn't cleanse them of their sin. But it pleased God to sacrifice his son. Why? Because through that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it accomplished something. It accomplished cleansing from all sin that burdens our lives. In other words, that death freed us from the power of sin that so takes our lives. Freed us. As we heard this morning, it is for freedom that I've come. To set us free from the bondage and power and burden of sin in our lives. And that is why it pleased God to sacrifice his son, because he knew through that sacrifice people would be set free fully and completely. And Jesus willingly said, knowing this, here I am. Do it for you. He knew why he was going to die. But when the bulls and the goats were led to the offering, they didn't have a clue what they were doing. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have any understanding what was going to happen to them. That's why they couldn't accomplish anything. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. And for you and for me, he said, I'm willing to be sacrificed so that people will be set free from sin and bondage and slavery, and that they can live in the freedom and power of God to live a life that is guilt-free. It is very interesting that we read in chapter 9, verse 14, that the blood of Christ, in other words, the sacrifice of Christ through the eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God. What? For? To cleanse our consciences. To cleanse our consciences. In other words, forgive us our sins. In other words, everyone was conscious of their sins. And it says in verse 10, verse 2, that people felt guilty for their sins. So when Christ came and offered himself for sin, he took the guilt away of all our sins, sacrificed himself for all our sins, cleansed our consciences. Therefore, friends, we are made holy in God. And that perfect offering now means we are perfect in Christ. So the revelation comes from this, that the first sacrifice that was made in the Old Testament was the revelation of their sin. But in the second sacrifice, once and for all, we have the revelation not of our sin anymore, but we have the revelation of our perfect standing in God. We have the revelation of our righteousness. So whenever we feel guilty, look to Jesus and look at the one sacrifice that was made for you. So you are no longer sin conscious. But the revelation comes that through the one sacrifice of Christ Jesus our Lord, we are now righteousness conscious. We are right with God. And this is why it's so important to take communion, I believe, weekly. Because in the Old Testament, sacrifices were made every day. Every day. And every day it was reminded them that they've fallen short of God, of his right ways. Reminded them every time that I've fallen short. That's why another sacrifice had to come along to make amends for that, to forgive them. But then that couldn't forgive them completely. So another sacrifice had to be made. That sacrifice couldn't forgive them. So another sacrifice had to be made. So they're always aware. The more we take communion, the more aware we become of who we are in Christ. So as the old sacrifice, the more they're aware of their sin, the more we take this, the more we're aware of who we are in God. That's why we should take it often, friends. This do ye often. Because the Lord knows how often we feel guilty for the sins that we've committed. The Lord knows how often we forget the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. That's why he said, do it often. So you're constantly reminding yourself, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. All the time. And it was one sacrifice, not repeated. One sacrifice for sin. That shows the perfectness of that sacrifice. It was a perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Never has to be repeated. And this is the wonderful thing. In verse 12, it says this, but when this priest, because the high priest offered the sacrifice to God, but Christ is our great high priest who offered himself to God for us, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, what did he do? He sat down. He sat down. Now the priests never sat. Never sat. They were always standing. There were never any seats in the tabernacle. Why? Because the job was never done. They always had to make sacrifices for sins, because those sacrifices could never take away sin. Could never do it. But Christ came along, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the unblemished one, the divine one, sacrificed himself, got the job done, glorified in heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he said, job's done. Now we can find rest in God to know that our sins are forgiven completely. He sat down, friends. So sit down. Don't start going around getting worried. Oh, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Sit down in the righteousness of Christ Jesus that he has for you. Know who you are. And you know, it's a forever righteousness. It's a forever righteousness. You see, when the animals are sacrificed, they're not eternal beings, are they? They don't have an eternal spirit. So when the sacrifice is made, they couldn't forgive their sins forever. But chapter 9 says this, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself to cleanse our consciences. See, the eternal spirit. In other words, Jesus Christ is God. He is eternal. He's forever. He's forever. So when he died for your sins are forgiven because of that one sacrifice. It's not until another sacrifice comes along, but it's forever because he is the eternal God. Forever and ever you are living in the forgiveness of God. All the time he's merciful to your life. All the time. And you just stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wondered how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me, that I am saved once and for all, completely forgiven. And if you have a guiltiness upon your lives, you must remember there is no condemnation. No condemnation upon your life, says God. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. That is the devil who condemns you of your guilt. That is the devil who comes to you and says, ah, you've done something wrong in your lives. You're guilty. But what you do is say, I look to Jesus, who sacrificed himself for me once and for all. I'm no longer guilty of my sin, devil. I'm righteous. And do you know what the Bible says? The written law that was against you, that condemned you for your sins because you broke the laws, has been nailed to the cross of Jesus. Been nailed. In other words, all that's been paid for you. And the devil can't throw it in your face anymore. You just say, I'm clean. I'm forgiven forever. And the Lord loves me no matter what. Because of that one sacrifice, the Lord says to you that this. Now in full assurance of faith, knowing that my sacrifice has paid the debt for all your sins, now draw near in full assurance of what I have done for you. Draw near to me in full assurance of faith. Draw near to me. Let me reveal my love and my mercy to you. Come near. So the Lord is inviting us. Come near to him. Draw near to me. Allow me to minister into your life, to show the love I have for you, to show the mercy I have for you, to show you what it meant for me to die for you and how much I love you. It goes on to say this. Let us hold unswervingly then to this hope. Hold on to it. Hold on to the hope that Jesus loves you. Hold on to the hope that he sacrificed himself for you so that now you are right with God. Hold on to that hope and never let it go. God loves you. He'll never let you go. He'll persevere for you in your life forever and ever and ever. Because he showed that because he went to the cross. He'll never let you go, friends. He'll never let you go. But you know, it is for us as well that we need to help each other in this wonderful faith. Because it goes on and says this. Verse 24, chapter 10. Let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another in this faith. This house should be a consistent house of prayer. When one brother or sister comes in, and you see on their hearts they're down, come to them in love. And start talking to them with the love of God for them. Encourage them in the faith. The Lord loves you. He died for you. For you. Pray for each other. Encourage one another in this faith of what Christ has done for us. We need each other, friends, as well. That the Lord would bind us all together in love. Cords of love that cannot be broken. I need you as much as you need me. We need each other. But so often as Christians, we're quite happy to take our to have our service, that was a lovely service, and walk out. But we should talk to each other, not how are you doing today, how's your faith doing? How are you faithing? How are you in God? Are you struggling? It's all right to say you're struggling in God. And say, well then, if you're struggling, let me pray with you. Let me encourage you in prayer how much God loves you. The young can do it to the older can do it to the young. The young can do it to the middle age to the old, we should do it with each other. Pray for each other, encourage each other of what this gospel message means to us and how it can build us up in this faith. The revelation of the one sacrifice is that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. The revelation of the old covenant was that they were unrighteous in God's sight. But we have the revelation that we are right with God when we take this. So when we take this tonight, when we take this now, know that God did this for you. Know that He loves you. Know that you are right with Him. And just thank Him. And let the revelation of what He has done just overwhelm you, grace upon grace, like a wave, wave upon wave of His love for you. So I think we'll take communion now. And just to meditate upon what Christ has done for us in the one sacrifice that has forgiven us all our sins, that has made us happy, that has made us joyful, and we should no longer feel guilty anymore because God has dealt with the guilt. We are now righteous in His sight. If there's one or two of you who wants to pray and just thank God for what He has done for us, do that. It doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. The Lord loves to hear any prayer that is offered to Him with a loving heart. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. You didn't have to, but you did it for me. And because of that, I know God. I know God. I know you. And I live a life that is free and happy and joyful and content because my sins are forgiven. Thank you for dying for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Yes.
For putting me out of my victory.
Yes.
For washing and cleansing me.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. as I bring the bread and the wine around, just hold on to it.